praise team. This morning, turning your Bibles to Luke chapter 17, we're going to look at verses 11 through 19. Now, if you were here with us last week, you know we started our five-week walk through the Grateful series. And last week, we looked in one of the Psalms concerning the idea of basically what gratefulness really is. And we established there that gratefulness is based on the idea that we remember. That we remember specifically what God has done for us, our condition before we knew God, and where God has us right now and where He's taking us. Remembering His grace, His love, His presence, and the handiwork that He provides. Today we move on. And today we're in Luke, and this is an unusual passage because in Luke, it's often one of those that kind of gets left out, this story. It's Jesus healing the 10 lepers, and in it, we often don't give a lot of time to it because one of them comes back to worship Jesus and thank Him and express, as we'll say today, true gratitude, and the other nine just leave and go on. And so we often forget about it because some people question, well, what do we mean? What's the teaching here? And it comes right after a lot of the parables of Christ. And then it is right before Jesus starts talking about His second coming. And so it's one of those neglected stories. But I want us to spend the next few minutes on it because there's a lot here that we can learn about what it means to respond with a grateful heart based on what we read here. Now, before we read, and we're going to read, as I've said, Luke chapter 17 from 11 down to 19. I want to share this with you to kind of set the stage this morning in my thought processes. I've been working on this for a while, as y'all know, and working through this. This week, I've been reading through one of Eugene Peterson's older works, and in it, he establishes one of the problems that we have in the modern believer today. And what he says is that too many are being tourists of the kingdom of God as believers rather than residents. That really hit me because that's exactly what is happening when we don't express the gratefulness that God desires for us. We are all about, and by the way, as we read this story, I want you to think of the nine lepers who certainly are excited about the healing that God gives them, but they're not truly willing to come back and respond to it. You would think, in sort of this definition, they are tourists. They are happy with the things that happen in the kingdom of God. They show up to get those blessings and those healings and the pep talk and the encouragement. The question is not that they're not believers, but they don't want to be a resident in the kingdom of God. Now, I'm not talking about whether you're saved or not saved. If you're a resident, then you're there for the long haul. It's almost like this. Leanne and I have had the good, I guess, fortunate circumstances to live in two different highly tourist cities in our country. One, New Orleans, Louisiana. The other one is Charleston, South Carolina. Very similar but very different destinations, by the way. And as we lived in both of those places, in New Orleans, we lived close to 3 years there. In Charleston, we lived close to 20 years. And as tourists, you would come and you will enjoy the benefits of those cities. You'll enjoy the food, you'll enjoy the destination, you'll enjoy the museums and the musicians and the nightlife and all of the things that go on in those cities. But when you're a resident of that city, you understand that there are touristy things. There are places that the tourists go that aren't really real life. In fact, we would bring people who'd come to visit in both of those cities, and they would be like, oh man, what is it like to live here? It's nothing of what you just experienced. Because we have to go back to our homes, and we have to pay our bills, and we have to get up and go to work tomorrow, and we have to do all of the things that you normally do in your home, but you get to come for a few days or a week and experience the city as a tourist, but you're a tourist, you're not a resident. What Eugene Peterson is telling us this morning as we walk into this passage, too many of us are like the nine lepers. We're tourists. We want to show up and get the benefit of God's kingdom work. We want to experience Him in a worship service. We want to be changed by Him. But as soon as we get that, we want to walk out and go back to our homes where we choose to be residents, not in the kingdom of God. Man, it's eye-opening. It's full of conviction because now it begins to call each and every one of us out in the idea, are we truly grateful? Are we being changed to the point that now we want to take up residence in the presence of God? Let's pray and then we'll read together. Father, thank you this morning as we look into this passage. I think it's an often forgotten passage. It's one that we skip over, we read through quickly as we're hitting one highlight to another highlight. And I think this story gets lost sometimes. But there is significance here for us today. As we think about how we respond to you, we established last week that really it begins, a grateful heart begins with remembering the magnitude of what you are and what you do. And then today, it's what does that lead us to do? It leads us to respond to it, to cause us to act differently because we've experienced you. And so, Father, as we walk through this passage, I pray for every believer, as we kind of started with this opening illustration, are we a tourist or are we a resident of the kingdom of God? And I pray that just sits in our hearts this morning as we hear this, as we read this, as we walk through this together. For the lost person this morning, they're neither, because they don't know you. So they may be looking at the pamphlets of the kingdom of God, seeing it from afar, wishing at times they could be a part of it, but there are things that have kept them from crossing over and becoming a child of God. And so my prayer for that lost person this morning is that they would hear the plea, the call of Christ. We talk about your mercy today. That the greatest act of your mercy is the fact that you didn't give us what we deserved as sinners, but your mercy delivered us from our sin and put us in a personal relationship with you. So my prayer this morning for that lost person is they are like the 10 lepers. They're not just wanting a quick fix. They want to experience the mercy of God. And my prayer for them is that they would experience it in the form of salvation today. Now, God, as always, bless the reading of your word. Guide us as we walk through this morning. We pray all of these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. We'll start reading verse 11, Luke 17. As Jesus continued on toward Jerusalem, he reached the border between Galilee and Samaria. As he entered a village, there were 10 men with leprosy stood at a distance. I think you all know this, but in biblical times, leprosy was one of the greatest, worst diseases a human could get. Not only was it essentially a slow decaying death, literally, but you were excommunicated from your village, your family, and you were shunned into small groups with other lepers. So you were not just an outcast, but you were a social outcast. You were considered to be spiritually unclean, and that's why you had leprosy, because of sin in your life or a sin from a generation in the past that had shown up. It was God's judgment. And so here's Jesus walking into this village facing this. Look at verse 13. This is the key verse this morning. Crying out, these 10 lepers, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Isn't it interesting? I ask this question. Why didn't they just ask for healing? Because most of us would have just wanted to be healed. The idea of asking for mercy, and I've struggled this week to try to answer that question, and I don't know that my answer is fitting, but through all of just the prayer and anguish through this passage, when you ask for God's mercy, you're asking God to see you in a whole way. I don't want just a quick fix of the healing of leprosy is what they're saying. I want you to take me and look at me with mercy and heal me of the leprosy, but also change me. When we ask for God to give us something, we often are just looking for the quick fix, aren't we? Just the Band-Aid. God, I wish you would heal this. To ask for mercy is a completely different thing. It's a whole different perspective. It's a much deeper call to God. And I think that in and of itself tells us the framework. These 10 lepers were not looking at Jesus as a magician. They weren't looking at him as just some traveling salesman of healing. They looked at him as the Son of God. They knew who he was. That's what makes the 9 who don't return even worse. These are not people who didn't understand who Christ was. They understood it. That's why they asked for mercy instead of just simply healing. If they didn't know him, they would ask for just the healing. God, just heal us. Put the Band-Aid on. Fix it. But what they were asking for is something much deeper, which again goes back to what we said. These guys at this point are in the presence of God, and you would think that they're residents now, man. They're going to walk away from this and be dramatically changed and choose to reside in the presence of God rather than just being a tourist of it. Look what he goes on. Verse 14, this is where we begin to see Jesus heal them. He doesn't do it in the typical way. Note this. He looked at them and said, go show yourselves to the priest. Isn't it interesting he tells them to go do that? He didn't put his hands on them. He didn't blow on them. He didn't put spittle in mud and wipe it on them. He chose to deliver them into a task that now exhibits their faith. Look what he goes on to say, last part of verse 14. And as they went, they were cleansed of their leprosy. Then, verse 15, this is where we begin to see the one come back. One of them, only one of them of the ten, when he saw that he was healed, came back to Jesus shouting, praise God. He was responding. He wasn't just content with the healing. When he asked for mercy, he wanted the whole thing, and that's represented by the fact that he came back. He, in other words, didn't just remember Jesus in that moment. He now is responding with the thing that all of us should respond to with God, and that is worshiping him, acknowledging that he is on his throne, and we're down here, and we're in desperate need of him. Anytime in Scripture, by the way, for the most part, when you see somebody who's encountered the living God, who has miraculously been changed, it causes them to bow down and worship him. And in that moment, that's what this one does. He goes on in verse 16, and he says, he fell to the ground at Jesus' feet, thanking him for what he had done. This man was a Samaritan, which we're not going to chase that rabbit hole, but that's a whole nother sort of social context that we could look at here. Samaritans were less than. They were ridiculed by the Jews because they were seen as unclean in addition to this man having leprosy. Verse 17, Jesus asked, didn't I heal 10 men? Where are the other nine? Listen, if there is an underlining statement for you this morning, personalize that, underline it, write it out on your sticky note, put it on your mirror. When God heals people, then where's my response? When God does something in my life, where's my response? He goes on, verse 18, has no one returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? He's talking about him being a Samaritan. Then verse 19, last one. And Jesus said to the man, stand up and go. Your faith has healed you. Now, some readings will say your faith has not necessarily healed you, but has saved you. I don't know what you're comfortable with there, but either way, we know that Christ heals him, and his faith in following the orders of Christ and now turning back is the significance of what they asked for in the beginning, and that is the mercy of God. And so this man received that. Now, as we look at this morning, there are three things that come from this that I want us to focus on as we think about this idea of returning, a response, in other words, to God and the fact that we're seeking to be grateful for what he's done. We've remembered those things. Now we're talking about the idea of responding to those things. And I want you to see these in sequence. As we walk through these verses, they kind of go in order. Number one is this. You'll see it on the screen. We all stand in need. You may not have leprosy this morning. I'm certain you don't. We've almost eradicated that in our world today. But you are sick with other things. You're sick with the sin of lying. You're sick with the sin of denying. You're sick as a sinner just across the board. And the habits of sin you have in your life, you're sick in the sense that you need God's mercy because you're trying to be a tourist and experience everything of the kingdom of God when he's calling you to be a resident of his presence. And you're in need of his mercy for that. We could just go down the list, down the list, down the list. We are all in need. Don't sit there for a second and say, well, gosh, I'm thankful I don't have a leprosy. In God's mind, what you have may be worse than leprosy because you're hiding it successfully. Nobody knows about it. You've tucked it away and it's eating away in your life and you're not giving that over to God. And so because of that, you're guilty, you're in need, you're just like one of the 10 lepers. In fact, nobody sees it, but yet you're still just ignoring it. Goes back to what we said in the beginning. You're content with playing the religious game. You're like a tourist. You want to come in and experience it. And you want to get all the benefits of it, but then you want to leave and go back to where you feel comfortable instead of where God wants you to be in His presence, in the residency of the kingdom of God that makes you feel uncomfortable, that forces you to see things differently, that calls you out every single morning to go serve Him in ways that now He has orchestrated to use you during that day. Too many of us are happy with just being tourists. But then we have the audacity to then complain because we don't feel connected. We don't feel used. We don't feel like God's using all of our gifts and talents. It's because you ride in, experience, and then ride out. You could almost overlay this with so many different things in our Christian walk today. And none of them are good, by the way. Some of us, and I've said this before in a different way, some of us want to define church membership just by where we attend on Sunday morning, where you sit. You're being a tourist. You're not in the life of the church. You're not involved. You're not giving of your gifts and talents. I know this is making you feel uncomfortable. You just want to get, you want to be a tourist. You want to gain things, but yet you don't want to be a resident member where you're actually involved and taking on the responsibilities of both the good and bad of what we struggle with as a community of believers. See, you want to be a tourist in your devotional life where when the pastor talks about it one week, you get uncomfortable. So you go tomorrow and start reading the Bible, but by Friday you've forgotten about it because you just feel like you want to go back and be where you're comfortable. You're being a tourist of your faith instead of a resident. So we all are in need, regardless of the sickness. We all have some form of leprosy, if you want to call it that way. And every single one of us, at least these 10, recognized their sickness. The problem with many of us is we just don't recognize it. We've gotten so immune to the sickness in our life that we just look at it and ignore it. It doesn't mean anything to us anymore. We're not shocked by it. We're not feeling convicted by it anymore. We're just comfortable with just kind of coming in when we need to and then leaving. The quicker the trip, the better in some of our minds. Number two is this. And this is where we kind of get to that theology. And it's this. You'll see it on the screen. Not only are we all stand in need, but number two is this. Jesus meets us with mercy. Listen, I think we've said this in so many different other ways. We are all looking for God to do something in our life. As a believer, that's an instinct in our heart. It should be. But as we've said, some of us are content with just the quick fix. We just want the healing. We don't want all that other stuff. You know, I just need you to forgive me of my sins, God. I'm not willing to sign up for all this other stuff that people talk about. I don't want to be asked about now as a church member where I've been the last 5 Sundays, or would I serve on this team, or be willing to go with us to do this. I don't want to do any of that. I don't want to feel guilty for not reading my Bible or tithing or supporting the work of the church. I just need to get that quick fix of the forgiveness of my sin. And so what we're searching for is this idea of just the quick fix. I just need forgiveness. I just need the healing. But what these men teach us is mercy goes a different level. I've defined it this way. Mercy is God's compassion in action. You're asking God to not just see you as an object that needs to be healed. You're asking and recognizing God's ability to see you for all of what He sees, the capability and potential for you. And when you say, God, have mercy on me, yeah, that may include the physical healing of the body, but I also am inviting you in to take all of this other stuff. You're choosing, when you claim that, to be a resident of God's presence, not just a tourist. You don't want to just get the quick fix. You want to be changed by that. And the problem with many of us is at one point we may have been like that. But somewhere along the way, we decided that was too hard. It cost too much. It made us feel too uncomfortable. It took us too far out of our comfort zones. And we settled for this tourist mentality. I just need the quick fix. I don't need the mercy. I don't need all that other stuff. And it's interesting that these men, nine of them, ask for that and really don't understand. I think they grasped it. I think for a fleeting moment they understood what they were asking for and their need, but so quickly they forgot. In fact, you could say it this way. When Jesus heals them in the miraculous way that they were healed, nine of them were more excited about the healing than they were the healer. Only one of them decided to be excited about the healer. How many of us are guilty of that? We've asked for God to answer this prayer and do something, and we're so jubilated that he answered that prayer that we forget to return to him and worship him. We're guilty of being a tourist at that moment. We're just getting what we can and then neglecting the fact that he's calling us to a deeper walk with him when he does that kind of stuff. Or when he doesn't do that, are you angry with him because he didn't do what you asked him to do? And so from that, you're just going to be miffed at God for whatever length of time. And you're losing out on the fact that at that moment, it may have been his intention to draw you closer to him, to see things the way he sees them. But yet we have that mindset, I just need the quick fix. Not the mercy, not all of the other stuff. Just the quick fix. Just interesting. When you look at this, that they all are asking for that, but really only one was really looking for it and is changed by that. I wish we had the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey used to say. You young people don't even know what that reference is, probably. That we would know what happened after this point with this guy. I mean, he's healed. There's no question about it. All 10 of them are. But what happens to him in the days to come and the years? I like to think that he is not just putting on here, but the fact that he understood the mercy of God that healed him and now has set him free to now become a walking testimony of the power of God. That isn't just, now this sounds wrong, just take this full statement, who is not just concerned about your physical need for healing. He wants to bring mercy in your life that now begins to handle that physical healing perhaps, but also heal you in other ways that you don't even know. Calling you into a deeper walk, we'll call that being a resident of the presence of God. Now, we could get into the theology and say this, God's never not present with you. I know that. The problem is he may be present, but we're not. Our mind's somewhere else. We choose not to see him or recognize his presence. He's there. He never leaves you nor forsakes you, but you just choose to ignore him. And so because of that, you're not experiencing the fullness of that presence of God. You're being a tourist and not a resident. Third one is this. Not only are we all in need, not only does Jesus give mercy to these 10, but he also gives mercy to us when we want that and see that. Number three is the key to this whole thing. When we ask the question, when God does things like he does, then what's our response? Number three tells us this, grateful people, grateful hearts, which by the way is more than just being thankful. Gratefulness is an entire attitude of looking to God, thanking him for what he's done and celebrating him, but particularly we're worshiping him. Now, I don't mean that you turn on the radio and lift your hands up while you're driving and you sing a song. That is some form of worship, but worship is much, much more than that. Worship, as we've said for years, is putting God in his proper place and us being reminded of how much in desperate need we are of him. We're down here, he's up there. And so because of his sovereignty, we should acknowledge that. So we can do that through song, as we did this morning, I believe. I could feel it. But we also do that in prayer and reading and serving and so many other ways. It's really an attitude of constantly putting God in His proper place. So when we experience God in that way, it always, always in Scripture leads people to react. And we've kind of drawn two different paths today. You could react in the idea of the nine lepers and be a tourist and be thankful that He gave you those things. You're not grateful, but you're thankful. And now you just want to go on back to where you're a resident. The other path is that change becomes so marked in your life, you've truly seen the act of mercy of God in your life. You now begin to move to a level of gratefulness that is simply defined as being changed to the point that now we respond. It's a whole life experience of thanking God and giving Him attention and noticing Him and loving Him more. It's all of those things and many more because of what He's done in our life. And He does those every single day. But yet we said last week, we sometimes miss those things. Some of the most dramatic things that God may be doing are not the things that you've asked for that morning, but it's the things that He's doing, and you miss them. Because maybe you're just being a tourist, and you're not walking that day as a resident of the kingdom of God, spending time asking Him, what are you going to do in this situation? How are you going to use me? How are you changing me through this? A resident asks, well, why did this happen to me? Why do I just seem to always suffer? God, what did I do to make you angry? Why can't you just do these things? You're neglecting to understand a basic principle about your faith. When you gave your heart to Christ, you did that as a resident, not as a tourist. You gave Him it all. You gave Him everything. In fact, you were visiting the kingdom of God, we'll say, as a tourist that night or that morning you got saved, and guess what? You put in a change of address and you moved everything into the presence of God at that moment. But many of you want to go back and try to be tourist. And that way you don't feel bad about not doing all the things that God wants for you. Listen, I think there's a huge, huge place here as we think about this returning and responding to God. Earlier on when I put this together, the return was the word, but this weekend as I've been thinking about it and praying through this, response keeps coming. Because sometimes it may not be that we physically come back to a place, but we respond to God wherever we are. I like that word probably better. And so when we are grateful, not only do we remember, as we said last week, but we also truly should be led to respond to God, to not be a tourist in that, but to be a resident. My prayer this morning is that all of us are looking at that, not just in things that we've talked about, but other things that God may lay on your life. You may have things that you're dealing with. God's placed you in a place for His service, and you're fighting it because you want to be a tourist in that and not a resident. You want all the benefits, but you don't want to have to pay the price. We go to the beach occasionally, not as much anymore. And there's always that moment when you're on the beach and you think, man, wouldn't it be great to live down here where I could go to the beach every day? But then you realize, I can't do that, because I can't afford to pay the taxes on the resident. You see, you're a tourist now looking over the horizon at being a resident, and you realize that's probably not good. Plus, you got to go to work, so you can't sit on the beach. And I'm going to tell you, living in two touristy areas, there's nothing worse passing the tourist and watching them on vacation knowing you've got to go to work. I mean, that just really robs you of that joy. And you begin to realize there's a difference between being a temporary tourist and being a resident of a place. What God has called us to be as His children are to be grateful residents of His kingdom. Father, I pray this morning, as we've hit the mark on week 2 now, looking at gratefulness, I pray help us not to get away from this, not to push this into a corner and not think about it, but I pray that you this morning would just envelope our entire hearts in this idea that we've looked at in this passage. Which are we? Are we one of the nine, or are we the one that returns? Are we a tourist, or are we a resident? God, I pray in the days that we're in, and my hope for our church, and I struggle, honestly. There are some days where I too want to just be a tourist in certain aspects maybe. But God, you've called us all to be residents in your presence, to be residents of the kingdom of God, to, as it says in Colossians, to live accordingly to the title that we carry as the children of God, as Christians. That means something. It changes us in every ounce of our body and in every aspect of our life. I think in our journey of understanding gratefulness, it takes us into this place of where we see ourselves, how we see ourselves. And probably the more important question, God, is how you see us. Now, God, I return back to those lost people, and I pray. I almost feel the image that they're on the outside of the house looking through a window at the presence of God, and they can't get in because they've never accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior. My prayer this morning, if they're here or watching this sometime or listening to this week on our podcast, my prayer, Father, is that through the work of the Holy Spirit, you would lead them to now have that desire to enter through that doorway. It can only be entered through Christ. We know that. Christ is the way, the truth, and life. No one can come to the Father except by Him. So my prayer is that, Father, if they're here, we're going to have a time of commitment or response. I'm going to invite believers to come and pray at the altar, but I'm also going to invite those lost people to come and talk with me and share with me, and we'll put them in connection with somebody who can go deeper in helping them understand that decision. Now, if they're at home or watching this, I pray that they would reach out to somebody that they know is a believer or call us here at the church office, and we'll do our best to try to get them connected with somebody that can help them understand fully what we mean by accepting Christ as our Lord and Savior. Now, God, I pray, take this time of response, and we give it to you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Would you stand now for our time of response?